This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Everybody, and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Ruffled Feathers, your Two Birds on the Bat podcast. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and I'm happy to be back on here. Special thanks to our friends at Patio's, who always take care of the studios here for Two Birds on the Bat, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. And hopefully everybody's having a good time hanging out a little bit downtown while being safe and social distancing and all that stuff. At least being able to have a good time with some of that. But I also have to send a special shout out thanks to my co-host Ron Nuttall, who has carried the ball all the way across the goal line for me while, you know, let's be honest, while I've been traipsing around all summer doing baseball shit, really my last summer that I get to enjoy my son and able to watch him play all the time. Cause my hope is, just like everybody's hope is that next summer, when he's in high school, that he's good enough to go off somewhere and play in a college wood bat league somewhere and experience that. So it was kind of awesome this summer to be able to follow him around, even with all the COVID stuff. It was interesting. But that being said, I've been following along, and Ron's done an amazing job. He's really up the ante on guests. So I don't know how he downgraded today to me. He's went from Matt Holliday and Tom Ackerman and guys like that to me, but somehow or another I managed to weasel my way back in here. So let's welcome in the real star of the show, Ron Nuttall. Ron, what's going on?
Hey, Jim, it's great to have you back. And boy, we sound good today. It almost sounds like we're in the same room, kind of, right?
Well, thanks to you and your, you know, if you have a green thumb, because you're a guy that does stuff like that, what is your thumb color if you're the guy that says, look, I think we can do better with our audio? Is it a What would be the IT thumb color?
I think it would
be silver,
blue.
Right? It's got to be something like
and
that.
I think it would be blue. If you look at all the lights and the electronics, like an Amazon Alexa or something like that, they always got that kind of that blue light stuff to them. So I think it would be blue. I think it's a blue thumb.
Well, as you can see in my studio, it has automatic dimming on the light. So now I'm going to have this discotheque look, but that's okay. And that is something we'll get ironed out for the future, because that would be a problem. But that being said, I'm anxious to talk to you today. We have no shortage of things to talk about. We can look at the opening weekend for the Cardinals. I thought it was interesting. Some things went down there that I thought was great. Fan reaction was good as well. Had a lot of fun with the no fans and some of the things that were going on. I liked the argument between the Pittsburgh manager and the umpire. Got to put their mask on to argue. But, you know, for me, there was a sense of normalcy to me in an unnormal world. Is that a word? Unnormal. Abnormal world to actually just watch baseball again. So yes, selfishly, I'm happy that baseball's back. But I guess the issue today, Ron, is how long is it back for?
Oh boy, I don't know. It gets a little scarier, right? I mean, if you're paying attention to Twitter right now, you pointed it out just moments ago before we started. One of the guests that we were fortunate enough to have on here a few weeks ago was Craig Mish. And you know, he covers the Marlins, he's down in Miami, but you know, the tweet was Marlins are on pause. For however long until
how do you put a team on pause?
I don't know. I mean, well, one
that
way
means another team's on pause. Basically, every time they're supposed to play them, that team's on pause.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do this. I don't know if it's a ton of doubleheaders later or if these are forfeit games. Nobody knows right now. So it's just kind of watching and waiting, right?
Well, I mean, if the easy thing to do is to forfeit them because nobody thinks the Marlins are any good, I think that's about as disingenuine as it can be.
Especially in a shortened season, right? Where
I mean, it's just that to me is a shit show. You know, I've said, and I, you know, I'm definitely not the smartest knife in the drawer, or the smartest guy in the room when I'm around any of you guys. But I've said since day one with this, I don't know how you move forward. And I wanted them to move forward more than anybody. How do you move forward with this if you weren't prepared for this exact scenario? Because you had to know it was going to happen.
Well,
I mean, I don't understand. Like, you can't. Like, again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But it seems to me like no matter what you do, I'm not quite sure you can get away from this thing. I just don't. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough of the facts here. You know, if you believe everything you read out there on social media, what it was is that I don't know if it's true or false yet. But, you know, it was kind of a team vote whether they played on Sunday or not. And if that kind of decision's left to the power of the players, you might as well just say, hey, we just allowed the inmates to run the asylum. I mean, the players shouldn't have had a vote. If they had three people test positive, there shouldn't have been a game period on Sunday. Now, again, that's what's out there floating around on social media. So whether it's true or not, but man, if that's true, then protocols weren't there. And the guidance wasn't there. At least it's not enforceable in the player's view. So boy, that'd be a real shame if that's how the, you know, a team like, what were they playing, the Phillies? That's how they were exposed, that's a boy.
Well, here's the thing. Ruffled Feathers is a show and a concept that, you know, you kind of, you know, came up with, and then we expanded on and put this thing together. And it's a great concept because at the end of the day, this show is for fans and what fans think. Not, you know, screw all the experts, right? Mm-hmm. This is about fans' opinion on both the Cardinals, the sport, and there is no right or wrong here, right? Because it's an opinion.
Right.
So as a fan, let me say this to you. Joel Sherman's tweet 39 minutes ago. So this is, to me, he's heard that the MLB would love to get a 60-game season in for all teams, but they're not wedded to it. If some teams play 58, 56, 55, winning percentage would determine playoff spots. So now let me ask you a question. To me, that screams of money grab. Like, the only reason we're doing this, like, to me, this is becoming a shit show. If all teams don't play 60 games, and I know that some years because of rainouts and they don't affect standings, that teams might play 161 games or whatever it is. To me, another disingenuous way to get this. It's almost like, look, we're going to just do anything we can to get some baseball in so that we can make some money on TV and some other thing. I mean, then again, maybe are we kidding ourselves? That's what it's been this whole time. And maybe are we kidding ourselves? That's what baseball's become 365 days a year. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, you know, hey, hell or high water, we're going to get to that expanded playoffs where 16 teams get in now, which we haven't even talked about that yet, or at least you and I haven't. So, you know, it could very well be that. And I don't, you know, we'll never hear that, but that is what it could be. So it looks like the Phillies aren't expected to resume action against the Blue Jays until Friday. So I don't know. I don't know what their plan was, but
Friday.
Yeah,
today's Tuesday. How does a team not play till Friday? Like, I don't know, man. That to me is crazy. I don't know, man. This is crazy. Crazy. Anyway, but we're playing. Some people are playing.
Well, you know what? Before we get onto that, Jim, I don't want to go to. There's a texter. A text. I don't know if you got one or not, but I want to get to this one because it's interesting. Okay. Very, very interesting. So you want to read the Patterson thing or do you want me to, since I just brought it up?
Oh, we're going to go right to the Patterson Tire and Service.
I do. Because before we focus on the Cardinals, I wanted to get to this.
No, I can do that. We'll work backwards today. How's that sound? So let's start with the Patterson Tire and Service text line. As you remember, Patterson Tire and Service is a whole lot more than a tire store. Cause while you can give them a call and, you know, talk about tires and brakes, and a lot of people do that, you know, on a daily basis with them. They also take care of all matters that have to do with your car. So if the check engine light's on or it's not running right, that's why we say they're more than a tire store. So they've been located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois, for over 40 years and been taking care of their community. But if you're outside that community and you're looking for somebody that you can trust and do great work and get great pricing, 618-797-6711. That's the Patterson family down there. And like I said, I've happened to just know these people for so long and know their business. And I take my car there. All my cars go there when they need to. Had nothing but great success with them, as I know many people have if you check out the reviews. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. All right, my friend, since we're working backwards, take it over.
All right. So this was a question about the bubble, and I actually got a name on this one. I only got a first name, but the name's from Leslie. So guys, what do you think? Should baseball have gone with that crazy bubble idea or not? It seems like the NBA is working through it as well as, well, they only reference the NBA at this point, but you know, that's interesting because we had talked about that months ago about, you know, coming from super agent Scott Boras, putting that on the table. Should we, you know, should they have all the teams play in Arizona? And then I think eventually it evolved to the Cactus League plays in the Cactus League, Grapefruit League plays in the Grapefruit League. But you know what it made me think of, Jim, was, you know, they're regionally kind of making some kind of bubble-ish thing now. East teams aren't playing Central, Central aren't playing West. So they're kind of sticking to a region here, right? So yeah. They're trying to section themselves off in some way, shape, or form. And it just got me thinking, and coulda, woulda, shoulda at this point, right? It's already over. It's already, you know, that boat's already sailed. But it's fun to kind of like look at this and fun. I mean, hell, it could very well happen again. But, you know, should they have selected a city that was kind of centralized to these regions? So we just, I'll play it out here. I know Chicago was a hot spot, but you have two major league parks right there.
Sure.
In theory, you could play two games in a park. You could play three games in the other park.
They were
saying
3 games a day is what the plan was,
could.
Right?
Right, and then go out in the east, you have Baltimore and D.C. in really close proximity. In the west, you had maybe something like Oakland and San Francisco where they could have, you know, kind of localized these players, all 10 teams. And I never heard anything like that, but when that person asked me, I'm like, well, too late now. But boy, I wonder if Arizona was hot, Florida's hot, so that would have been ultimately may have been a terrible idea. But if you would have
stop you, let me stop you because I want to ask you a question. So when they were talking about doing this, or anybody's talking about doing this, for example, and you start going, that's a hot spot, or that's this, or that's that.
Yeah.
Well, are like, has the plan been all along that no matter where they were at, it was going to be a free for all for the players? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, isn't the plan that the players are supposed to isolate themselves in a hotel room and basically for 60 days in playoffs, they basically are going to be going to and from the park, from their hotel. Everything's going to be taken care of for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys, to my knowledge, are not supposed to be, and again, I'm going to say this to be facetious, but they're not supposed to be going out to strip clubs and going to parties at people's houses and doing all this kind of stuff, right? And I'm not saying anybody is, but let's assume that somehow or another, they're getting this, somebody's coming in contact with somebody. Mm-hmm. Who is it?
Yeah.
Because if you live in a bubble, and somebody's bringing it in, well, who's bringing it in, right? I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not there. Is it a front office staffer that just can't live in a bubble? Is it a trainer? Is it somebody that prepares the food? Who is it? I don't know. But if you weren't prepared to shut it off from the rest of the world and say, look, not only, like we talked about the players, to your point, if you were going to do this situation, which I think is what they should have done, by the way, I believe that. So you would have went to the players and said, and I believe this is the way the NBA is doing it. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but hey, look, you guys are going to live in, to your point, Chicago. There's two fields here. You're going to be in the hotel. You're going to be in the stadium and everything else is going to be taken care of for you between this here and there. Now you say, okay, that's kind of easy for the players because the players, you know, like they're going to get catered to, so to speak. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But don't the people that are taking care of them have, like, that would have been the undertaking, right? Yep. You're preparing the food. You're in the same boat.
Yeah.
You're not leaving for 60 days. There's that much money involved that the person that did the laundry, the people that cooked, the people that did it, they should have all been included in this. And that was, in my opinion, the only way you had a chance for what's happening right now to not happen.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about a guy that literally cooks for the team that's going to tell his family, I'll see you in 90 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all think, well, that's crazy. It's not crazy. I have a friend who's a lineman for a power company. He leaves his family for 6 months all the time. Is that ideal? Well, no, it's not ideal. Is anything going on right now ideal? And I promise you, as I sit here today, there's a whole lot of people out there that are nutritional chefs or cooks or whatever. And if they got approached and said, we'd like to hire you to be the people that prepare our food, but you guys are going to get put up in this hotel and you're not leaving for 90 days. Let me tell you something. The line would have been long.
Oh, yeah. Day. Yeah.
So that's where I'm coming from on this. And if you weren't going to do that, this was destined to fail.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's easy to say now, right? People
sure.
Are, oh, of course.
Sure. But it's just interesting. It's interesting to, yeah, it was interesting. It was a good question, you know, and the truth is though, the NBA hasn't started playing yet. right? You know, they're just getting started with this too. So sure. we don't know if the bubble theory actually will work for them or not. But it's a good question. I appreciate Leslie for sending that. And
but don't you think that's a more logical option than what we have now? I mean, I'm not even saying it's the best option.
Yeah.
But do you not agree that's probably the only way you avoid what just happened?
It sounds like it has a lot of validity. Even if you were going to regionalize it to three regions, East, West, Central. Look, if you're playing in empty stadiums anyway, what does it matter where you're playing? What does it matter? Now, I'd hate to see St. Louis playing a home game at Wrigley Field. That would suck. But let's just say St. Louis and Kansas City. They're in close proximity if you played it there. You're playing in an empty stadium regardless. Nobody really has a home field advantage at that point. And so, I don't know. It would have been interesting, but we won't see it. Hopefully, we'll never even have to entertain that idea again.
Well, let's hope. I mean, it's not. This is not ideal for anybody involved, correct? But mm-hmm. The bottom line is they're trying to get it done. I can sit here and say all day long, like, to my – and here, I'll play devil's advocate to my own statement. Okay, Jim. Okay, you were right. How can you do this and you didn't have any – like, without knowing that this is going to happen? Okay, we did know this was a possibility to happen. What's your idea for when it does happen? Just let them go play?
Yeah.
Like, okay, bunch of guys got COVID. Just keep playing since you're, you know, since you feel fine and you can play. I know people, young people that have had it. And again, this is their personal story. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I was sick for a night. I'm fine. I know people that have had it that didn't even know they were sick.
Right.
So I guess when it comes right down to it, like it would be a case by case scenario of, and again, I'm not comparing it to the flu, but while you have it, can you play? Or are you out of breath? Or you not feel well? No different than when you're sick with something else.
Right.
But are you, unless you're going to approach it with, look, man, we're all going to get it eventually. Let's just play and figure it out. And we're in a bubble, so we're not infecting other people. That was the only way it was going to happen and not have happened what's going on right now, in my opinion.
No, I think that sounds right. I mean, look, you have hundreds of players, and what are the chances of, you know, 1% of them having that kind of, you know what, we're all going to get it anyway. I'm just going to wait to be caught with it. And I'm going to go anyway. And, you know, it's really complicated, right? You've got, oh my God, I use that word. But, you know, is there a 7-day incubation period? You may be fine for 7 days. And all of a sudden on day 7, you test positive and you've had it and you've been in contact with several people. So they've had to come up with a plan about this or an idea, at least how they're going to handle it. But yes, I mean, at the end of the day, I think they pushed a 16-game playoff format. I think they want to get to that hell or high water.
Just how it feels to me. That's that, because for the league, that's where the money's at, right?
Right.
I mean, and that's how they make back what they've invested. And we can argue that all day long. But the truth of the matter is they got some problems, mm-hmm. and they'll figure it out. So I'll ask you before we move on to talk, let's talk Cardinals. So I'll say this. Very simple. In your opinion, what's the percentage this season finishes?
I still think it's a high percentage that it does finish. I mean, we've all had some scares this week, but I still think I'm at 75%, 75% chance. And the reason I'm at that is because 25 is still a significant number. And all it takes is another incident like this or two or three more incidents around baseball for it to happen where it's really going to be out there as to where a tough decision is going to have to be made on whether to push forward or whether to kill it all. I don't think they're
amazing.
There yet.
You and I typically are pretty lockstep on. I'm the complete opposite. I think there's a very small percentage this season finishes. If you look back to March when they shut it down, they shut the whole thing down because a couple people got coronavirus. We got a whole team that can't play right now. How do you keep playing? I mean, I don't know. There's no way this is the last of this. There's no way.
Now, expand that to that 90-man roster, I guess.
Can you weather? Okay, it's happened in Miami. Now it's happening in Chicago. It's happening here. We'll just get through it, and we're going to play. But I will tell you this, and I love the word disingenuous, because the bottom line is this. If they continue – the feeling of we have a real chance to win a World Series title this year is disingenuous, because I don't know how you do it. Like, you basically, there's a lot of luck going to be involved in this thing, right? Like, hey, you know what? It just didn't run rampant through our team. We never had guys miss games, so all our best players are playing. I mean, because if you play a bunch of doubleheaders, those guys aren't going to play both games all the time. It's not realistic, and people think it is, or it's just baseball. It's not realistic. It's just not. Not you can't play five doubleheaders in a week and the guys play all the games. It just it's just not realistic.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy thing to do. That's why them just completely making up and making sure they get in 60 games is going to be difficult. And I guess at the end of the day, how many are they going to miss? They don't have a lot of off days. And gosh, even having one or two games just eliminated from your schedule in a 60 game season, that could be a difference.
Yeah, I mean, winning percentage. It's like if you lose out on the winning percentage thing, you're going to sit there and go, well, what if they played their five games and they lost four of them? I mean, I don't know, man. This is interesting times for sure. But let's get to some Cardinal baseball. Before we do, let's remind people, twobirdsonabat.com is where you can learn more about us, guys. So make sure you go there. And when you do, we're going to ask you to click subscribe to the podcast. It takes about 30 seconds. And it just helps us make sure that you guys are getting the content as we put it out. You know, sometimes the shows go out at different times. And to be quite frank, you know, doing video more these days, I'd like to stick a big middle finger up to Facebook because you never know when the hell that thing's even working anymore. And you can't tag this and you can't tag that. What a disaster. But subscribing to the show is the best way to stay informed when the new shows come out. Twitter, happy to have you guys follow us there at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. If you follow us and you're a Cardinal fan and we like engaging with you, it's just a great way to communicate. Again, back to Facebook. It's Two Birds on a Bat. I'm going to ask you to follow us there and like the page. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. And of course, WynetMedia.fm is where we're housed, and they have your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. You guys will love that. Can't thank some of our sponsors enough for you know, being with us. You know, we've been working with them through this thing, and we want to feel like we're helping them as well. Don't forget our friends at Adam's Smokehouse. It's the best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. At the very least, they're tied for first, as our friend Tony La Russa used to say. Get over there, try the ribs, the sandwiches, the sides. Everything's amazing. Mike and his staff are doing a wonderful job making it happen through these difficult times. Sending in the pre-orders definitely helps to make sure they have enough barbecue for you guys. As you know, that's kind of a touchy thing with barbecue. You want to cook just enough, but not too much. But they're located on Watson Road, and you guys can get over there and get some of that great barbecue. That's Mike and his staff at Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. DrKristenJacobs.com does a wonderful job for so many people with Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. But she does want to remind you guys that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. So take care of your skin, and it'll take care of you. That's DrKristenJacobs.com. Been busy, busy, busy with the Gators Baseball Academy this summer. Learn more about them at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. It was awesome this last week to see so many kids over on the Illinois side trying out for both our youth programs and our Gators Baseball Academy. Same thing on the Missouri side. As that program just continues to grow and keeps bringing in more and more good people that love to work with kids, love to train them. They're some of the best at what they do. Very blessed to be a part of this moving forward, and I can't thank them enough. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Make sure you guys check it out today. Let's talk about the Cardinals. We had games, as I said at the beginning. It was nice to see baseball. I mean, I don't know about you, but like I don't, you know, what are they? So they're 2-1.
2-1.
2-1. This is going to sound crazy. I don't even care. It was so awesome to come home. And again, you know, I was busy all weekend, but like with anything, to come home, sit out on the couch and know that I had an hour that I could just sit there and maybe work on the computer a little bit. But on the TV in the background was Cardinal baseball. And I watch a lot of baseball that way because I'm typically on my computer working or doing something. And I can rewind and watch with the DVR, but it just felt normal to have that on. Now, I will say it was really odd for me seeing no fans in the stands. So I don't know about you, but that my first takeaway was that was really odd.
Yeah, it of course it is. But, you know, by the way, I want to say something before I talk about the Cardinals. I'm alongside of you. And I'm going to say double middle fingers to Facebook. I'm frustrated with it too. I want to get that out of the way.
I don't even know how to do it anymore. I don't know how to tag our sponsors. I don't know how to tag. I mean, I can't tag people. And then I post something and they are tagged. And sometimes they're not tagged. Mm-hmm. I'm over it. Like Zuckerberg can take his. If we didn't need him, damn it, I would say go to hell. But we need him, unfortunately.
Yeah, we do. Okay. We do. And you know what?
That's what they've done to us. They've created it so that we need him.
Yeah. So everybody migrate with us on over to Twitter. That's the way to go. Yes. So, to me, it's like, I guess I had watched a couple of those inter squad games. So it wasn't a shock to the eyes. And I think at times I'm so focused on what's happening and, you know, the action that's happening, I kind of forget about it or It doesn't really jump out to me. Of course, it is odd. And I know there's a split opinion on the crowd noise. Some people don't like it.
That was interesting.
I kind of like it because you know what?
I did too.
When they're not showing a shot with the stands in the background, hell, I didn't notice the difference. And if you're listening to radio, you really don't notice the difference, right?
I forgot completely.
Yeah.
Like there were times I'd be working and something would happen and I'd hear the crowd noise and I'd look up and I'd be like, holy shit, there's nobody at the game and there's crowd noise. I swear to you, one time I thought, man, them people at Ballpark Village are loud. I forgot completely. I mean, that's embarrassing to say, but I did. I forgot all about it. It's crazy. It's crazy.
It is. It is. But you know what? I'm glad they're doing stuff like that. And I guess and we could talk about the actual games themselves, but the little bit of thing I'm disappointed about the Cardinals PR is I would really, for fun, love to see them just have the cardboard cutouts in the stands behind, at least behind home plate. You know what? If you're just glancing at it, if you squint your eyes, like I was watching the Mets-Yankees game, their preseason, and you don't notice right away. And it's silly, you know, but I think if the Cardinals were doing it to reach out for money for Cardinals care or something like that, hell, I'd buy a couple seats right there behind home plate. We'd have me, you, Kyle, and whoever else behind home plate there.
Oh, my Lord.
There you
Kyle
go.
Kyle would be shirtless, of course.
Yeah, of course. And I always told Kyle, you know, you should just put yours out somewhere in the bushes beyond the batter's eye and just have it braise up and down every once in a while. But, you know, I'm kind of disappointed they don't do that. And because imagine, like, if you had those cutouts in the bleachers and a ball happens to hit your cutout, they mail you the ball. Just, like, I think they missed out on an opportunity there. Look, it's not the end of the world. It's just...
But no, listen, those are unbelievable ideas. And I would say that two things, in my opinion. Number one, I think if you're, just a simple business opinion, right? I think, oh, we got a Cardinal fan. How are we feeling, buddy?
You gonna say hi?
How's the arm?
He asked you how the arm was. You starstruck? Okay. I'll be out there. In a bit.
He didn't realize you were on, probably. He thought I was going to go say hi to Dad.
Yeah.
So listen, you know, I like the Cardinal shirt, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, I forgot he had that on today.
So, you know, I will say this. I think if you're a season ticket holder, I think they should have gotten a hold of you and said, look, can you send us your best picture? We're going to put a card in your seat. I think that would have been a nice way to stay connected with your season ticket holders. And who knows what they're doing with season ticket holders? Maybe they are. Maybe they've done some things and are doing this. I don't know. But number one, I think that would have been awesome. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. To your point, I think they did miss out on an opportunity, but I think to give them a little bit of credit, they're probably at this time going, I mean, yeah, Cardinals care, things like that, but God darn it. I mean, do we really want to be perceived as we're asking people for money in what, right, quite frankly, for a lot of people is a rough time right now. So
sure, yeah.
The image was probably already damaged enough for Major League Baseball. So, you know, kind of is what it is, But no, I agree with you. And I do. And listen, I think somebody hit a home run the other night and it hit a dog. And somebody said somebody should donate some money to, you know, the Fed organ ARF or something.
ARF,
like that.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. You know, it makes for some fun stuff. So it's awesome, I think. I don't know. But
yeah.
We're 2-1 for what I think is a season that won't finish, but that's okay. let's start with your general perception of the team after three games, just an overall, like it doesn't like, let's face it. Let's not get crazy, but your general perception.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. It's only three games. So I think the last thing I'm going to do here is overreact to anything in this small of a sample size. You really can't. However, you still kind of see some of the same things you saw over the entirety of 2019. You saw some pretty decent starting pitching. You know, Adam Wainwright had a good game. Flaherty had a great game. You know, John Gant, his first start was a little bit rough. The wheels fell off on him there, I think, in the third and fourth inning. But overall, the pitching hasn't been terrible. Defense has been okay. Offense, you know, the one game they break out with a ton of runs and then they go silent the next day. And gosh, how many times did we see that in 2019 where it was just a little inconsistent? They're striking out at about a 25% clip, pretty close to last year. I think last year they were around 23. So I feel like we're seeing a lot of the same, except no Marcell Ozuna.
Huh.
That's just my quick impression. You take a series. Yeah. I'll take a series any day of the week. It's against the Pirates. Sweep would have been great, but I'll take the series.
Yeah, I'm not going to get, you know, I've said it 100 times over, whether I was a Tony La Russa fan or not doesn't matter. But the bottom line was, you know, I love the way that he approached the season of every series is a war. Let's win the war. If we win two or three games, guys, at the end of the year, we're going to be sitting there ready to go. I mean,
yep.
So, you know, they won a series, number one. It was the Pirates. I don't care who it is. Doesn't matter to me who it is. Go out and win a series. Okay, that's number one. Mission accomplished. the players, we're talking about, I'm looking at it right now. We're talking about anywhere from 9 to 13 at bats, depending on who you are and depending on, you know, official plate appearances.
Right.
Now, it's hard to sit here and go, but it is interesting to me, some of the things that you see that make you go, right? So like, let's talk about Paul DeJong.
Yeah.
Paul DeJong to me, and I mean this, is the most important player on this team this year. And the reason being is he provides something to you that you desperately need. Like he has power. He plays a prime position. So getting offense from that position is always a bonus, right?
Right.
That being said, and let's face it, I think we've all come to the realization that he has made himself a good shortstop. I don't know if he's going to win a Gold Glove, but that guy can play.
Right. He's not going to make a lot of highlight reels, but he
but gosh darn it. I mean, what more do you want from a guy, right?
Sure.
So as I look at it, the guy's hitting four. Now, again, 10 official at-bats because, you know, he's got a couple of walks. So
right.
10 official at-bats. We are hitting 400. We've had 10 at-bats, but we have 5 strikeouts. So that's, you know, like, that. You know, if you're a if you're a stats guy, you know, is that sustainable to hit 400? Well, number one, hitting 400 would be really hard. But if you're, you know, if you're striking out half the time, and you're hitting 400, that means your, what is it, your batted ball rate is pretty high and probably not sustainable. Is that correct? Did I say that right? Did I sound like a stat guy there for a minute?
You did. You had me fooled for a second.
Yes.
I thought you,
so,
I thought this time, all this time out, you were really on like a baseball statistics sabbatical and you were getting out ahead of Mo's.
Yeah. So, you know, like where does that go? Again, we're 10 at bats in.
Right.
Paul Goldschmidt, it's nice to see him do what you think he does, right? Like, guy's a hitter, always has been a hitter. You know, where it goes from here, who knows? But, you know, I think we know who he is. I'm not concerned about him. Colton Wong, it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but how do you like him in the leadoff spot?
I want to see him there for a little bit longer run, but I think so far it's been okay. You know, he's hit the ball, and I think he's had it didn't go in the Cardinals' favor, but it's been my most entertaining play thus far, and that's when he blew that tire out. Going from third to home and ended up about a foot short of the plate. But yeah, no, it's good to see him. I want to see him there. And I hope by the time if we do the 75% chance, I believe we will finish the season. If he's still in leadoff, that means it's going well. So,
so far,
so good.
And I'm just going down the list here. So this isn't in any particular order. Mm-hmm. Tyler O'Neill, looks like they've decided that they're going to see what he's about. Obviously, we've got the home run, you know, and again, we're 10 at bats in, but,
right.
You know, 4 strikeouts hitting 200. I mean, again, it's 10 at bats in. Let's try this instead, or 222, whatever he's doing, 9 at bats. Let's just say it this way. Are you on board with it's time to give Tyler O'Neill this position and let's see what he does? Are you on that camp?
I really am. And I say that more and more because if you look at all the options that are out there, you know, like I'm at the point where I'm still willing to give Bader me personally, I'm still willing to see him out there a little bit more in center to see what he can do, although he has not been impressive so far. Because I know there are other outfield positions that are likely to open up. So I'm 100% on board with give Tyler O'Neill left field and make it his to lose. Because I think other positions are going to open up for like Lane Thomas or Dylan Carlson here in a matter of a week or so when they can bring him up and get the service time thing sorted out. I am. I think it's do or die for him at this point. I think he's out of options. So I think he'll be fine out there in left field because I think there are other opportunities that are likely to open up. And I think center field, I have suspicion that center field is going to be one of them because what I've seen from Bader right now, and again, I know we'll go back to the premise of this, it's only 3 games, but we just saw a whole 2019 with Harrison Bader too, right? So
right.
How much did he really change? I think center field is going to open up, just my suspicion.
I want to premise our discussion here by saying this though. You know, you sit here, you and I both said it now. Yeah, it's 10 at-bats, it's 3 games. But we only have 60. So
yeah.
When do we, and again, we're just, this just opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Opinion is formed by what you see and what you know. All we know is the history of the player, right? So you don't have that long to go, well, I think it's going to get better. I think it's going to do. You really don't have that option. So
right.
As I look at it and I say this, I do want to realize that you know, it is 10 at bats or whatever it is, but you know, I want to see something that leads me to believe it's going to be different. Or is it just going to be how the start goes, or how, or is there a little bit more luck involved this year? Or was there something going on last year we didn't know about? That stuff happens all the time, right?
Right. Yeah.
You didn't know he was dealing with the hamstring, or you didn't know he was dealing with a foot problem. So, you know, let's preface this conversation by saying we understand all that, as long as everybody that would sit here and go, come on, guys, it's three games, would understand that, like, that's a great conversation to have if we play 162. So then when is it okay to sit here and go, look, man, it's 20 at-bats and this is what I see, or it's 30 at-bats and this is what I see. So I think we all understand that going in, and I hope people get it. So in that, you know, that'll take us to Dexter Fowler, mm-hmm. who, you know, to me, same shit, different day. Is that a great way to put it?
Well, I think it's a very fair way to put it. He's 2-for-10 right now. So, you know, if you look at up and down the lineup, yeah, I mean, we'll see. But you know what, Jim, you're right. I mean, we understand all the nuances, especially when you're talking about a full season and times. Sometimes guys have time to work things out, but I feel like where you're going is with 60 games, your leash has got to be shorter, right? And of course, let's just say that Bader's still hitting around 200, 20 games in, but the Cardinals are 15-5. Is there such a rush?
Well, I don't know. There you go. See, that, like, ultimately, I think this season, like, that will be the part for me that will be different. Like, how are mm-hmm. you winning games? I think we all know what Harrison Bader brings to the table. Yeah. You know, can you live with that? But more importantly for me, and I think as we go down this list, we'll start looking at some of these key cogs, because the next guy's Tommy Edman. Tommy Edman is a versatile player. Now, you know, is Tommy Edman offensively by, if you want to define him as his numbers, is last year who he really is? Well, I don't know the answer to that question. Most people would say it'd be really hard to believe that. Mm-hmm. But could he be similar to that type of player? Well, his skill set would lend you to believe that, yes, with his speed and his versatility, we should get maybe a little bit of power. We should be able to get a lot of extra base hits because of the speed, and he's going to play well defensively for you. He's going to work really hard. Like, I don't think those things are ever in doubt. So, mm-hmm. you know, for him, it's a little bit tougher for me to sit here with him and go, oh, well, you know, he's hitting 231. And last year he was just like, you know, with a younger player like that, I think, you know, you're seriously going, I'm not sure. So, I mean, like, to me, for him, it's almost unfair to sit here and go, oh, well, here we go again, or this or that. So I'm not even prepared to do that. Bottom line is Tommy Edman's going to be a big part of this team. And if he can replicate anything remotely close to what he did last year, the Cardinals would be better for it.
Well, and if nothing else, I mean, you know, I don't know how much rest DeYoung's going to need over a 60-game stretch, but I'm sure you can't run him out there all 60 games. So if you can give him a couple days off just to break it up, you know, Tommy Edman's more than capable of handling short. Sure. So if nothing else, you know, his versatility can rest some guys when they need it.
I think that's what we were told this year, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think Mozeliak had mentioned that they were going to look at Edman more extensively mm-hmm. To do so. So that should be a good thing.
Yeah, and I think I said that it was Ron Gant. Wow, I'm bad.
Wow, John, man, it was, you are going old school.
It was John Gant that pitched game 3. It was actually Dakota Hudson. I don't know why I said that earlier.
That's interesting.
Fact checking myself.
Interesting. Okay, so that'll bring us to the ageless wonder, Yadier Molina.
Oh, boy.
In true Yadier Molina fashion, the average is .273. The on-base percentage is .273, but we only have one strikeout. You know, so it's like the defense, I mean, come on. I mean, an ageless wonder.
Wow.
And to be honest with you, like, how good a shape can a guy his age get in? I mean, this is amazing. Now, I'm sure it's pretty simple,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, he is.
His pickoff, like, at first base on Sunday was, you know, just reminiscent of
vintage.
You know, I talked to Matt Holliday. It sounded to me like when he was talking about little things like that Albert and Yadi would do together, it just kind of brought me back to how many times did we see him and Albert hook up to nab a guy leaning, you know, taking a nap over at first base. And you think, well, he's 38. He hasn't got quite the zip on that throw down there. But boy, it sure didn't look like it on Sunday. And then, of course, he caught a guy stealing right after that. So you're right, Jim. I mean, I don't know how he's going to keep going. He didn't get a full year in this year. He's going to go beyond this. I have no doubt.
Yeah, the whole Yadier Molina thing, basically, we know the guy's a workout warrior. So the workouts obviously have to change a little bit when the season starts.
Yep.
The approach, how they do it, he's got to maintain some things. you know, I would say this. So he basically just kept going, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, okay, I got more time to even, cause you know, his window to work out like that is usually, you know, off season. So naturally he's at, so who knows, you know how he is when he got into that kind of shape before. I mean, he became addicted to it, and then it became, this is going to help prolong my career. And now look at him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, who knows, but I've said it once, I'll say it again. People say, well, you know, his caught stealing percentage is down. Well, look how many people steal against him.
Yeah.
And if you know anything at all about baseball, if they aren't running on him at the clip they're running on other guys, it's because, and guys, I'm telling you, like, it's because the coaches on the other team have timed the pitchers to the plate. They're not stealing on Yadi. If it was Yadi that had slowed down defensively, there would be more steal attempts.
Yeah.
I promise you, the guys steal as much off the pitcher, even more so than they do the catcher.
Yeah.
If there's a ton of steal attempts against a guy, it's on the catcher. When you have less steal attempts than everybody else, it's because there's a few of your pitchers that do not hold runners well. It is that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, like, the whole thing of him and using that stat, the percentage of, like, it's crazy to me, just absolutely crazy. But that being said, I think he'll be proven us wrong still 2 years from now. So hopefully it'll work out that way. Boy, the lightning rod guy for all of us is Matt Carpenter. I've said it before. If we do a show and talk about as the headline of the show and put Matt Carpenter, Dexter Fowler, or Matt Carpenter, Dexter Fowler, or Carlos Martinez. If we put one of those three guys as the headline of the show and put a picture of them as our pick, it's always our highest rated shows. I told somebody the other day, we could talk about your son the whole day and what he's going through with his arm. Never mention him one time, but put a picture of one of them as the headline. And that show would get more clicks than you can imagine.
It does.
These guys
yeah.
are lightning rods. And unfortunately, his approach and the way things are going, he's doing himself no favors to start the season off.
No, he's not. And he didn't look bad, at least early on in the inner squad stuff. But, you know, I haven't sit here and analyzed each and every one of his at bats, but I think just looking at it, I really think that the DH will help him this year, being able to just focus on that. Hopefully what it doesn't do is allow him to hyper-focus on everything. And then he's just kind of, paralyzed, but, I'm going to steal a line you just said a little while ago, same shit, different day with him.
Guess we'll see, man. Like, this is crazy. Harrison Bader. I want so badly to like this.
Frustrating.
Dude.
I know it's frustrating,
you know, because mm-hmm. I'm telling you, there was a time when the Cardinals were last year when you could see it coming, like, dude, like, this is a playoff team. And it was because they were going through a stretch where they were getting stuff from Harrison Bader.
Yeah.
That was the time of Colton Wong, when he kind of picked it up. You realized how much more athletic the team was when Harrison Bader was doing well, when Colton Wong's doing well, when Tommy Evans doing well. Listen, those are things that get overlooked. The base running, the ability to steal bases, the ability to take extra bases, the ability to make plays defensively with athleticism, if you can keep those guys in the lineup. And so you want to like him so much.
Yeah.
But God, what do we do? I mean, what a mess. What a mess.
What am I, his at-bats haven't looked good at all. You know, he's only had five appearances. He got hit by a pitch one time. But, you know, that means he struck out half his plate appearances. And when he strikes out, he doesn't look very good. Now, I got to admit, I think one of the at-bats on Saturday he took, he extended the at-bat. He still swung at an off-speed, low and away pitch and missed. Or he checked his swing. He tried to check his swing anyway, but he didn't look very good on that. But I'll give him a little bit of credit on that at-bat. You know, he fought it off and he extended it at least. But, boy, he just hasn't looked very good. And I don't know. You know, I have no problem later on in the year seeing him as a defensive replacement or a pinch runner later in the game. No problem with that at all. I think that outfield will be athletic, certainly with him, but I think it will be athletic without him too. Cause I think we got a couple of guys, one of them we haven't seen yet, but in Lane Thomas, I'm confident in him in center field.
We saw him once.
Yeah.
He did play for him, but to your point, I was going there.
Yeah.
So is that way that played out in your mind, kind of the thinking, both maybe at the manager level and in the front office level of, we're committed to Tyler O'Neill. And, you know, we're very concerned about Harrison Bader and what he brings to the table going forward. So Lane Thomas, when he gets his chances before the arrival of Dylan Carlson, it'll be in center field. Yeah. I don't know.
That's the way I feel.
You know, so let's take it to that level. The last guy I think we need to talk about from an offensive standpoint is a guy that's not even here, and that's Dylan Carlson. He obviously wasn't happy. You don't want a guy to be happy. Like, I don't know in what world people think they go to a guy and go, look, you're going down, and he's supposed to be all roses and peachy cream. Of course he's not happy. You don't want the guy to be happy. I mean, Tony La Russa used to talk about that. Like, the minute that a guy's happy about going down, you realize you don't even, like, he's not there. Like, you don't have it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I will be curious when that, whatever, and I don't even know the date, but when that date comes to where it doesn't affect his service time, and they can act like that's not it, but let's not bullshit each other. Right. It's a big part of it. Okay. And the Cardinals are going to luck out, because unlike some of the other guys, this is an easy thing for them to do. And it'll probably just go over the radar. Maybe it won't with Dylan Carlson. Maybe he'll remember it, but you know, like Chris Bryant has, but it's, they're not catching any flack over this decision. I haven't saw one national thing with, like, with Chris Bryant, some of these other guys, that the Cardinals are screwing the guy, because everybody's like, well, it's this and it's this and it's that. So that being said, you know, are these guys holding a spot till he gets here, or when he gets here, is it going to be the same shit? We're going to alternate guys in center field and move guys in and out of left field. I just think with a guy like that, when he gets here, man, you just put him out there and let him play. But I guess we'll see how it pans out.
I think most would agree with that. That if you're gonna, given who you have up here right now, if you're gonna bring him up, you're bringing him up here for the sole purpose to play, not sit there and watch. And I don't know. I guess time will tell. I mean, not very much time will tell, because I think in about a week they can make that decision on whether to bring him up or not. But I guess it largely depends on how the team's doing and what do they think they're really going to get out of some of these guys. And do they want to, I think they have to go down to 28 players here in, I think, a week from Friday. They have to cut it down to 28. So they might not have that flexibility, but I do think we'll see him this year. I don't know how we don't.
Let's leave with this last question on that note. You say, we both believe that, like, here, let me say this. I said for sure that if you bring him up, you bring him up and you let him play. You made the comment, which is accurate, as I believe, is, you know, if you're going to bring him up here, you're going to play him rather than not play every day down there. The problem is, what are they doing down there?
Yeah, drills. I don't know.
So my point is, the Cardinals, like, in a trick bag of, well, we might as well bring, like, I think he's going to come up. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt because of that reason. Like, what's the difference? I'd rather have him up here with this club. So I don't know if in the future it's as easy to go, well, if he's going to be up here, you got to play him. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. I don't know if that's the case this year.
Yeah, like, that's a good point.
I truly think you could see him up here this year, and they're like, you know what, we're going to use this as a transition year. We want to see what we have in O'Neill. We want to see what we have in Thomas. But the problem is with those two guys, if this is your evaluation year and you're going to either going to move on from them in the future or whatever, well, I mean, you got to give the guy 2 months. Like, even a couple years ago when everybody was arguing with me about Colton Wong and Randall Grichuk, I told everybody, look, they got 2 months. Mm-hmm. They started the first 2 months of the season and they weren't any good.
And that's all you have now.
Right? You know, like, and that's all, exactly. That's all you have now.
Yeah.
So it's like, ugh, but we'll go through it. We'll figure it out. And listen, I don't know, but I think it's interesting that you're at 75% that they finish the season. I'm at 75% that it, no way it finishes. So this ought to be fun to watch.
I've been known to fluctuate wildly from show to show, though.
Oh boy, that's crazy. Hey, you got to say, you got to hook the audience, right?
That's right.
This was fun today, man. This was the first
face-to-face
visual broadcast we're going to do, and you guys aren't going to see this out there. You keep going, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just listening to you guys. But our plan moving forward, thanks to Ron and his innovativeness, is another word that I think I'm creating and utilizing today.
Some Shannonisms.
I think it is without a doubt in our future that you will start seeing this on a Two Birds on a Bat YouTube page. So I'm excited about that. Not that anybody wants to see my mug, but you know, it there is something a little more personal about being able to watch the show and enjoy it that way. Some people will, some people won't. You know, it's easy to listen to in the car or whatever, but you know, if you listen to it on a laptop or on a phone and you want to see what's going on, it's awesome. Especially when we have guests like you did with Matt Holliday. That was awesome. Pretty good highlight for you.
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of fun, and a lot of thanks to Gene Bonds, who has booked a lot of those guys
for
the show. And you know, we had to fill your chair in with somebody, Jim. So I mean, what better to go to than
it ain't real hard to fill in this chair, brother.
You know, but no, that was there's two interviews that I've had that have really stuck out to me, and of course, I love talking to guys like Tom Ackerman, who's got such a history with KMOX and has met guys like Jack Buck and been doing this forever. Mark Saxon, a senior writer for The Athletic. But the two that really stick out for me are a conversation I had a couple years ago over at Cardinals Nation 24/7. That was with Dan McLaughlin. It was a real fun conversation. But definitely, man, how do you beat talking to a guy like Matt Holliday, who played with some of those really great teams, seven-time All-Star, World Series champion?
For sure.
You know, so that was he is a great guy. Super kind, super fun to talk to. And yeah, I'll remember that one.
You know, his son had played in some circles of select baseball here mm-hmm. in St. Louis that I run in, and that's how I met him. And through that, and personally, kind of how I met him, not professionally. Sure. But, you know, it's funny, was talking one day about a show I used to do called Youth Baseball Talk, and I had said something about them coming on the show, and it was kind of funny because I said, to be real honest with you, I really am interested in talking to your wife and your mother. And he's like, what? And I go, it's a Mother's Day show. And I really want to talk about what it was like to be both the wife of a major league player and now the mother to sons that have to kind of live up to that bill. Yeah. And then I'd like to talk to your mom at the same time about, you know, what it was like raising the boys like she did and now being a grandma and the differences and things like that. And I think he was like, well, that's interesting. Very rarely do I get like, hey, look, we really don't want to talk to you. We want to talk to your wife and your mom. But, you know, this is when his mom had mm-hmm. had gone through some stuff and everything. And it was one of the best, my favorite interviews I've ever done. And he was, you know, it was pretty cool. So lots of fun, great family, very, very generous and gracious with their time, their energy and their effort. So like St. Louis was lucky to have Matt Holliday. Like you just can't have enough people like that in your organization and to help you become what you want to become as a club. So yeah, it was awesome. Good for you, man. And Tom Ackerman too. He's one of my favorite people to talk baseball with.
Yeah, he's great.
I mean, you talk about a guy that's pretty matter of fact and honest and open about the Cardinals, but for a guy that does what he does, he's so willing to listen to other people's opinions and go, okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he's got a great demeanor. And I think that's why St. Louis is lucky to have him as well.
Yeah, they were all great. So I appreciate all their time. And again, thanks to Gene for hooking that up while you were out, Jim.
He does a great job. Good. I know he sent us something saying, hey guys, anytime I can help. And I would say, Gene, bring it on, man. Like, we need all the help we can get around here. So, hey, man, today was fun. I'm glad to be back in this, and I can't thank you enough for carrying the water over the summer. And I know I was MIA quite a bit, and it means a lot to me that I, you know, I knew when I asked you if you wanted to take the seat that the show was in good hands, and you did really well. The fan support was great. I mean, you know, we didn't see, you know, we saw no dip in the amount of fans that are enjoying the show. So kudos to you and of course, Gene, for helping you and the time and effort you put into it with all the people. So that's awesome stuff, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I appreciate you asking me to do it.
Well, hopefully moving forward on Tuesdays, my get back to some normalcy here. And with the next 2 months, we'll be paying more attention to all you guys out there and seeing where you're at. As far as, you know, your thoughts on the Cardinals and where you're at on the amount of at bats and how much time and who's this and who should be doing that. I'm sure at some juncture, the Dylan Carlson debate will rage. The Carlos Martinez as a starter debate will rage and we'll just have a good time with it. So, you know, for me, I'll encourage you guys just to be a part of our show as much as you want. Utilize the Patterson Tire and Service text line. You guys can enjoy that. You'll see us put that stuff out. We do appreciate them. And again, it is the Patterson Tire and Service text line, but we take comments from you guys as far as we're concerned, whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, anything. And that's just our way of making sure we get the word out about them. As we mentioned, they're a whole lot more in the tire store, and you can give them a call easily, 618-797-6711, located down at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. To our good friends, over at Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Don't forget about the best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. That's Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Thank you very much to Patios for always taking care of our studios. I don't know how a place like that can do the studio right here and all the way in Carolina where my man Ron's at, but they somehow found a way to do it. Don't forget about them when you guys are over in St. Louis just trying to enjoy the atmosphere. I know I always talk about GatorsBaseballAcademy.com and the great stuff that they do for the programs in St. Louis. Make sure you guys check it out and find out if there's a fit there for your youngster. DrKristenJacobs.com also does a wonderful job with so many people. Check out Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. And, of course, DrKristenJacobs.com, where she's going to remind you that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Make sure you guys check us out, TwoBirdsOnTheBat.com. Subscribe, click subscribe to the podcast. Takes about 30 seconds. Don't forget about us on social media, at BirdsOnTheBatShow on Twitter, TwoBirdsOnTheBat on Facebook, and TwoBirdsOnTheBatShow on Instagram. Special thanks to LineupMediaGroup.fm and Yole Radio, streaming platform for your mobile device. For all of us here at all the Two Birds on the Back shows, especially today, Ruffled Feathers. Let's go, Birds!
Let's go, Birds!